This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who wants to know why she's fantasizing about someone who isn't her husband. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I
we're
are not.
We're just all messy. Like, there's no human experience that isn't messy. Like, and the fact that we expect ourselves to be not messy.
I know.
It's just, I know. It's setting us up for failure.
It really is.
Or fantasy.
But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
We are not. We're not even close. We are two little kids playing pretend doctor. That's what it feels like. My daughter just turned two and she got a doctor kit. And man, 30s. that kid thinks that she went to medical school. She's like putting those tools all up into every crevice of my body and being like, you're going to be okay, mommy. You're going to be okay. Give you sticker. So that's us. That's Sam and I.
That's really
we're just
cute.
Fake. We're just pretending to know what we're talking about. So please take our advice as you see fit on the show. We are only here to offer our humble musings, not any professional advice. So please take our humble musings as you see fit. We're only here to... Wait a minute.
It's like you're going to have to say humble musing for a third time in just a minute.
I hope there's a way to cut that. Anyway, so we're just here to offer our humble musings to shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love.
Okay, let's get into today's check-in topic, which is inspired by a letter from Maybe I'm the Asshole, whose pronouns are she, her, who's writing from the void. And basically, she has a question about communication styles and friendships. And she is somebody who doesn't necessarily prioritize like reaching out to people, initiating conversations. She's really fine with her and her good friends like seeing each other or talking with each other like once a quarter because she's busy and she's got lots of other things going on. And those friendships are still meaningful for her. But she's also getting some pushback from people about wanting her to initiate more often, about having more conversation. And she's kind of like, is it okay that I don't necessarily want to communicate in the same way that other people do? And am I an asshole for basically being somebody who doesn't reach out to people very often? And so I thought we could just have a conversation about like communication styles and how you navigate those in relationships.
Yeah.
And like, I want to just name, first of all, that like, you're not an asshole because I'm similar. I am also a person who's like, yeah, we can be really good friends and only talk like once every 3 months. That works for me. It worked for me and Sierra for, I would say, most of our friendship. That's not true. Like now at this point we talk.
Half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Half of our friendship. Yeah.
Right. And that's true of a lot of my friends as well. I'm a notoriously terrible texter backer, right?
Terrible texter backer.
I'm so bad at it. I don't think you're an asshole, and I deeply relate.
And Sam, like, punctuates really, or like, it's very short. So it's like, he's either always like really affirmative or incredibly mad at me.
It's like never mad, to be clear.
I know.
It's always just like,
I literally never think that. It's just, you're very brisk in text, you know, like you're not, sometimes you send an LOL.
Yeah.
If you're feeling really, if you're feeling spicy, frisky.
No, for sure. Even when this morning when you texted me and you were like, I'm making my coffee. And so like, I'll be ready
soon.
But like you gave me like a lot of information and I said thumbs up and then said ready
thumbs
whenever
up.
Exclamation
and
point.
And literally even before you sent that back, I was like, see you soon. Like, before you sent that back, it was a one-sided conversation with just you thumbs upping it. Anyway, this is all
to
say.
And also, like, I want to tell you that I put that exclamation point after ready whenever for you. the original text just said ready whenever
either,
with no punctuation. And I was like, she's going to think I'm mad at her.
Ready whenever or ready whenever, you stupid bitch.
That's what it. Yeah, that's what I was implying for sure.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. So it is okay. And I also think, I think I mentioned this a couple episodes ago, or maybe it was during like one of our office hours. I'm trying to lean into the season of my life in which I recognize that, it's like relationships and communication isn't tit for tat necessarily. Like it's not that. How about this? I can understand how your friend or friends might be feeling like your communication style is one-sided if they are basing the quality and value of your relationship on who is reaching out first. If you grade a scale of a friendship based off of first contact, that is a different grading system than I use to grade the value of my friendships. And again, there's no right or wrong, but I'm just in my life right now trying to recognize that, like, I want to not think about my relationships as a bartering communication and instead reach out and say the things I want to say to the people that I want to say them to. Granted, there are times, like, this is getting off topic a little bit and talking more about, like, friendships and effort and whatever. There are times in which I have used the idea of, like, you know, the sentiment, when people show you who they are, believe them. You know, I've used that sort of idea to adjust the level of effort I'm putting into a friendship or into a relationship. I have used something like, how often do they contact or initiate, you know, as like guidelines. And also, that's just one piece of the puzzle. That's one thread of the fabric of your friendship. And it sounds like your friends are expecting you to communicate in their style and they're grading you on that scale. You know what I mean?
I think this is one of those things where it's like, you know, we all have preferences around communication. And I don't think necessarily that like any of those preferences are better than others. You know, like, I don't think that there's like a way that we should be communicating that is like the right or best way. And also, like, it's totally understandable that we have like preferences and also boundaries that we have around communication. And like, I think it's absolutely understandable for you to say, like, my boundary around communication is that, like, you have to initiate conversations with me sometimes, right? Like, and if you're not going to, then I'm not going to invest time in this relationship because it's not fulfilling me in the way that feels right. Like, I think that that's also really reasonable. In the same way that I think the letter writer is like, I don't have time and, like, this is how I want my relationships to function. Like, I think that that's okay too, right? To say, like, I prefer that we don't talk that often and that can be okay. And being in relationship with people means that we're gonna have to move beyond just naming our patterns and preferences to like hearing other people's patterns and preferences and deciding how much we want to wiggle within those two different patterns, right? Like, so if it's like, if you really care about your friend and your friend is saying to you like, hey, I need you to initiate more with me, right? Like, it makes me feel really unloved when I don't hear from you for a long time, right? You can say, I don't want to do that, right? Like, that's outside of my boundaries, right? Like, that's not what I want to do. And like, that's okay. But it's also okay to hear that friend and say, I love them and I want them to feel loved by me. So can I hear what they're asking for and do that in a way that feels like it's not compromising myself or I'm not overextending, but that might be like more uncomfortable than what I would prefer. And I think that that's the important part of communication styles in relationships is that, like, we have to go the step beyond just naming our patterns and instead say, like, okay, and are those patterns working in pursuit of the relationships that I want?
I think right? That's like, so beautiful. Yeah.
In the pattern, like, are these patterns actually building deeper relationship with me and my friends, or are they not? And if they're not, then, like, maybe these aren't the friends for you, or maybe it's time to try something a little different, even if it makes us uncomfortable.
Yeah. Something that I'm imagining that I think is really beautiful is you saying to your friend, hey, I've thought a lot about your request, and I just want you to know that I value you deeply as a friend. I think the core of this is that we have different communication styles and needs, but I do want to make you feel loved and cherished by me. I'm also really busy right now, so I might need help following through on this, but I hear your need and I'm ready to try something. But you know, like, I'm thinking about my life right now where I don't have like a lot of short-term memory space. And I often say to my partner, hey, can you help me remember this? Can you help me follow through on this or whatever? Or I put simple tasks like text somebody back on my to-do list, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I should do that.
Yeah, literally. Let this check-in topic temporarily be just about putting minor tasks on your to-do list. Like, it doesn't have to be big. It can be like general functioning, like floss your teeth, you know? I love the idea of you going to your friend and saying, hey, I see this wound. I see this need. Here's what I'm dealing with. Not only do I have a busy schedule, but I have a different communication style. I feel really fulfilled by our relationship, but I totally see that you need more. I'm willing to bend towards you if you bend towards me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I think there's opportunity for growth there. And also kind of what I touched on earlier, if this friend is always going to judge the merit of your friendship based on their scale, their style of communication, their what they've got on their plate, what they're contributing, then this might not be a safe friendship for you to extend that extra effort into. We don't know the details of it, but I do know that either could be true. You know, this could be a great opportunity, like Sam said, to lean into new patterns, and it could also be an opportunity to say, like, this isn't a safe growth space for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Anything else about check-in or about communication styles that you want to check in about? Do you want to
emojis.
Drag me anymore about how I don't respond to text messages?
You're a very funny texter, and I really don't read into your text that much. And also, you are, like, if we counted the word ratio between my text messages and yours, it would probably be like a 1-to-3 ratio. I think that's appropriate, right?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's right.
You're not like silent, but I just over-explain everything.
And I'm trying to convey respect to you by answering your question as succinctly and clearly as possible.
Yeah. And adding an exclamation point. That's about respect.
Yeah, just so that you know that I'm, this is fine.
Yeah. Emotional coddling. Okay. All right, let's get into today's letter. It is from Wow Ash, who's pronounced our she/her, who is writing to us from the Bisexual Void, USA. Hey guys, a little while back you read my sister's letter and I've been hooked ever since. Binging from the very beginning has been endlessly fun, so thank you. I'm writing in because I'm in a little bit of a pickle. You see, I, 33 female, have been married to my sweet, wonderful, understanding husband, 33 male, for 5 years. He was my white whale. That is a wicked throwback term.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, there's a bunch of really cute throwback JBU-isms in here, so I can tell you're listening from the beginning. Just so you know, we got a lot softer in the years coming.
Yeah. Be aware for us to like have less concrete advice as time goes on.
Yeah. We tried dating at 18, but to be honest, I was enjoying my young freedom and I didn't want to give any of that up. I wanted to keep hooking up with whoever I wanted, whenever I wanted. We lost touch for about 5 years after that, both of us subsequently getting into our respective abusive relationships. I never forgot about him and never stopped missing him. And when we finally reconnected 8 years ago, it was love almost immediately. We had our past to build upon and our relationship flowed effortlessly from there. We have the best marriage. We laugh together every day. He is truly my best friend and a good true love. But I have gone through a bit of a sexual awakening since I've entered my 30s. I've known I'm bisexual for a long time, but my mind has never drifted from my husband to a man or a woman. Well, that is until now. I have never been in a relationship with a woman, and my only sexual experience with a woman, aside from kissing, was when my best friend went down on me in a bathroom when we were drunk a decade ago. 2012 was a weird year.
Sounds like it.
The things you guys divulge to us.
Oh, absolutely. Just offhand.
I'm honored. But my lack of relationships or sexual experiences with women never made me second guess my sexuality. And after years of imposter syndrome, I'm finally comfortable and confident owning my bisexuality. Lately, I find myself having sexual fantasies about women often. And honestly, I kind of love it. But it leaves me wondering, why am I thinking about someone other than my husband? Am I unsatisfied in my relationship? I don't think so, but I'm clearly feeling unfulfilled. My husband told me years ago that he thinks he would be okay with me exploring my sexuality with women while remaining married so that I could have the experience with him not involved. He is a unicorn husband, guys. But I am not interested in having multiple partners. I am monogamous through and through. I just wonder if I will wake up one day and regret not exploring my sexuality. The love I have for my husband is not the issue. Me wondering if I can be content with myself and my life is the issue. Is this normal? I just don't know. Any humble musings would be greatly appreciated. Sending you both much love and light.
All right, Ash, thank you so much for writing to us and for asking us this question. You know, we get a lot of letters about people who are trying to understand their sexuality deeper, especially folks who are bi or pan. And I think Sierra and I are actually like really honored by the fact that y'all keep coming to us with this, because it means that we are a place where y'all feel seen in the complexities of human sexuality and monogamy and all of the different things that you're struggling with in this. So thank you for writing to us about this. And I just want to say that, like, this feeling that your experience of what does this mean about me? How does monogamy fit into the reality of that I will be attracted to multiple people throughout my life, I think is really relatable to people who aren't bisexual as well, right? Like, to people who are in monogamous relationships and also choosing that monogamy, even though there are other levels of attraction out there. So I just really appreciate that you asked us this question. And I just want to like name that I see the panic that you are currently in this moment. And I think what Sierra and I are going to hopefully offer are some maybe like calming reassurances that you're not doing anything wrong and that there's nothing wrong with your relationship, and offer some perspective that maybe might help kind of demonogamize your relationship, or at least like your perception of it, enough that you feel like you can comfortably sit in it in your humanity. So we're going to get into some of that in just a minute. But before we do that, we're going to take a short break.
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read. But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And get this, there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era, historical fiction, my absolute favorite, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you will always find something new to explore. Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction.
For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup. All right, welcome back, my darlings, and thank you to our letter writer for trusting us with this letter. As Sam said, it sounds like you have graduated from those initial stages of very relatable bisexual imposter syndrome, bisexual panic, as we just jokingly refer to it. Well, that's not it, but just the general idea of like, am I queer enough? Am I queer if I'm in a hetero-presenting relationship? Am I queer if I have, little to no relationship history or sexual history with a queer partner, and it sounds like you understand that yes, today, tomorrow, yesterday, you are queer enough. Sam and I understand that the big anxiety here is sort of one that's outside of the realm of sexuality. Am I happy? Like, is monogamy for me? It is, but is this person for me? Is it going to fulfill me for this, you know, marital pact that I have, whatever? And I think I want to just offer two ideas to help you soothe some of that fear. Firstly, I learned this a couple years ago watching like a documentary about sex on Netflix. The documentary made a point to distinguish that fantasies don't always represent what we want in real life. Mm-hmm. And when they do, it doesn't always represent our sexual needs, right?
Sure.
It's like, if I want to fantasize about, I don't know, being choked or whatever, it doesn't mean I need it in my active day-to-day sexual life. It's just showing up in my fantasies in this way. And, you know, it's not the total same you're having fantasies about having sex with women because you're like, yes, I would like to do that. You know, right. it's something that you wouldn't mind existed in your actual sex life. But I just want to offer the idea that, you know, fantasies don't mean we are unhappy or we're missing something. Fantasies are meant to be explorative. Fantasies are meant to be like a mental vacation. They're meant to be a free space for us to say, like, how does this make me feel in my body if I imagine this, right? It doesn't necessarily mean we are missing something in our life or in our relationship. We're kind of sold the lie that if we meet the one, they will be the one forever and they will fulfill all of our needs. And we really, because of that, we really ask so much of our partners to be our friends and our confidants and our lovers and our partners and our financial buddies. I don't know what to call that. You know, and to put the expectation on yourself and on your husband that you're not going to want to daydream about somebody else is a really high expectation. And then to double down on it and be like, well, this must mean I'm unhappy with this husband that I'm on paper, you sound really happy with. I guess what I'm saying is this fantasy, this desire, this sexual desire that lives in you, but doesn't need to be acted upon. This isn't telling me anything about your marriage that you should be concerned about. It tells me that you're like a sexual being who has fantasies and desires, but that you are actively choosing a monogamous relationship. And so sometimes you might not be able to act out those fantasies, right? That doesn't mean your marriage is failing or like is secretly doomed. There's no secret dark turn that you're not seeing ahead of you. Does that make sense?
I think this sort of ties into this idea that like, when we talk about monogamy, we assume that we're all talking about the same thing, right? And like,
yes.
Actually, there's like a lot of different striations and variations in how monogamy exists for people, right? And I think even like, I have an initial sort of pushback to the idea that like, that people are like monogamous as an identity, right? Because monogamy is actually like more a practice for me. And it is like you are choosing to be with your husband and your husband exclusively, right? Which is really great. I think that, you know, I am also a monogamist. So like that, I'm with you on that. And also like monogamy can have different ways that it shows up in people. And I think we spend a lot of time like policing our minds and hearts and bodies into monogamy, even though it's not necessarily like a thing that we can just inhabit and live in. We actually have to like make the choice to be practicing it. So the fact that you are having fantasies about other people, I don't think is an indication that you're not somebody who wants to practice monogamy. It's actually right. just an indication that you're a person who like
yes.
can look at other people and find them attractive or has fantasies about having sex with women, which is also really great. Right. And I say that not necessarily to like tell you what you are and aren't, but as an offering to say that, like, monogamy has more wiggle room in it than I think that we give it credit for. And what I'm not saying is that you just get to, like, do whatever
wiggle.
You want. Right? Like, you don't get to wiggle
out of there.
Like, non-consensually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? But I think that, like...
It's to each couple. It's to each couple.
Exactly.
You know what
yes.
I mean?
Like, mm-hmm. we can't just say we're monogamous and then assume that, like, the rule... Like, there are set rules that everyone knows and everyone should be held to. Right? Like, I want you to talk with your partner. And I also want you to do some, like, internal work around, like, what does monogamy actually mean to you? And... what does it look like for you to, like, choose monogamy rather than assume that monogamy is, like, the only option for you and that you should therefore your body and your heart and your mind should be, like, behaving within that monogamy in a way that's, like, predictable. You know what I mean? Like, how can you say, like, monogamy is a concept, right? Like, that we get to sort of decide what the edges and boundaries of, both, like, internally for ourselves and for our relationship, and decide what that means. Like, I don't think you should sleep with a woman if you don't want, like, outside of your marriage, if you don't want to do that. Like, I think that that's totally reasonable. But I do want you to sort of, like, give yourself the space to, like, show and inhabit your full humanity, which involves attraction, fantasy, right? Like, flirting, whatever it might be, that you're sort of constraining by this idea that, like, I'm a monogamist, and so therefore I should only ever want to have sex with one person ever for the rest of my life, right? Because maybe that's true for some people. It sounds like it's not true for you. like the words that you are telling me is, like, that's not actually what's happening for you. So how can you, like, broaden that definition of what a monogamist is so that you can fit comfortably in it? Because, like, we get to decide. There's no... despite what the internet will tell us, right? There is, like, no right or wrong way to practice monogamy in relationship, in consensual relationship with another person.
Yes. And I want to add one more thing to the idea. The ideas we see a lot when we hear from, like, my fellow bisexual siblings, people are really concerned about regret, and people are really concerned that they're lived authentic choices are just them secretly pretending, and that, like, in 10 years they're gonna realize they're like, oh man, I was gay the whole time, why did I fake it with this man that I actually truly loved and enjoyed having sex with? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yep.
we are so constantly trying to fight against the gender and sexuality binary, and we also still are constantly bound to it. You know what I mean? The fear of, like, oh man, I'm never gonna have this lived experience. That's real. Like, make space for that. Recognize it. Like, man, if I stay within this relationship, like, the way I plan to, because I am happy, I'm never gonna experience that. And that's real. That's a bummer. And what I want to add to the conversation that's a little crunchy, or, like, spiky to say, is, like, regrets are a part of life. We don't have enough room. We don't have enough time in this tiny life that we're given to experience everything we want to experience. It's just true. It's just true, you know? And if we erase the gender and sexuality binary for a second, you know, you could look at your chosen marriage and be like, oh man, I'm never going to get to have sex with a stranger again, or I'm never going to get to have a first time with somebody, with a partner again, or I'm never going to have sex with somebody who isn't 5'8" or whatever your husband is. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? And that's real. That is, you know, there are things out there that I want to do and experience that I just most likely or definitely won't. And that is part of literally feeling mortal, not to go into it that far, but to literally say, like, my time here is finite. And this tender, bittersweet feeling that I think where I'm like, oh man, like, I may never experience having sex with a woman, that bums me out. And also, I like my life where it is. Those two things, a gratitude for the present a gratitude for your current life, for the limitations that it will bring you, because all lives are limited. All relationships have, what do you call them?
Opportunity cost.
Opportunity cost. Every relationship has that. You know, like me moving to New York to be with my wife, to build the family we have now, means I will most likely never live in my favorite city again. Like, that's a huge bittersweet thing for me. And also, I have to say, I'm going to live with that tiny bittersweetness, that maybe that regret, you know, but I'm going to live with it knowing that it is paired with this huge gratitude and huge joy of my current situation, right? So I just want to add that to the bisexual void, to the general idea of this idea, this panic that we aren't queer enough, or we're faking it, or, you know, we're gonna end up unhappy in the future or whatever it is, and just say, like, you know, I think some of that anxiety and that resistance to regret comes from the idea that we have to choose, you know, that we have to be one or the other, or that we're faking it, you know. And again, you can say, yeah, man, I would love that experience. Like, I always fucking say this on this show, but I routinely regret not going to nursing school. Like, obviously, I love my career and I love being a writer and a podcast host, but I'm always going to regret not taking like a more traditional career path. And I just don't think I can fit it in this current life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
one.
Not for yeah. this life. Maybe next one. Yeah. So this is not to disparage or discourage this regret, but instead to welcome it as like a normal part of our lives that isn't telling us that we are unhappy. It is telling us that we have the capacity for a lot of joy and desire and happiness that we can't, that we don't, we literally don't have the time or capacity to pursue in one lifetime.
For sure. Absolutely. And that it can be a beautiful romantic choice to make decisions to continue to be in relationship with people, despite the fact yeah. that there may be opportunity costs involved in it, right? Like,
yeah.
How wonderful it is that even though you are capable of having attraction across multiple different genders, that you are also choosing to monogamously be with your husband. Like,
yes.
Right. Like, I
both are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. And I think sometimes we get into this idea that like missing out on something is somehow bad. I think, like, especially for like millennials who were taught that like we could have everything that we wanted, you know, like
YOLO.
The world was always ours. And
literally,
we just had...
we bought and sold hats that said YOLO on it.
We did do that. And also YOLO, you know, you do only live once.
I literally was just saying that. I'm going to change it to like YOLO. The acronym will be like YOLO. So, you know, maybe you don't have to have sex with that person.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Because you can't fit it all in. That's what
yes.
she said. Okay, go ahead.
But
let's wrap it up
there
before
is something
I spiral.
That is, there's something that's important to remember about the fact that, like, we can't have everything. And knowing that and making it like intentional choices in the face of that, I think is actually really empowering and is actually really loving when we think about how we can do that in relationship with other people. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think, yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm with you. I can totally understand yeah. why all of these different things are coming up, and they're all real and understandable and valid. And I think you're normal for having these feelings about what does it mean to choose to be in relationship with someone, even though there are 100 million other options available that could be out there, but that maybe probably aren't as good as this particular thing that I'm choosing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my darling. I hope this helps.
Thank you so much for writing. We love you. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our office hours, you can always support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to all of our monthly office hours. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DM, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of DuVide Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcasts and his music And remember, we are often told that we should live our lives in a way in which we have no regrets. But if you think about it, that is actually impossible. It's such a high standard for us and our happiness and our joys to be limited to just the things we can experience. It makes a lot of sense that we would want or desire or regret the things that we can't have out there while still loving the life we can have. And if all else fails,
just break up.